Welcome to the Analytics Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara, diving into contributing assets. So contributing assets, this is the next step down in the hierarchy of assets. Contributing assets are those that have a 50% chance of hitting at their position in Y1 through 3. Quarterbacks, really it's any remaining quarterbacks who are top 18 in ADP. Quarterbacks projected to start week one who have a hit on their resume would be the other one that I would think about. And then you get into your partial contributors after that. There's not a huge list. So contributing assets, at quarterback, really, it's a minimal number. Again, I think you could maybe get some backfill in here. A guy like Goff might be a contributing asset later on down the line, assuming he has some security. Winston, assuming that he has a year of security, could be. Those would be the guys that would be an outside shot at a guy like Jordan Love qualifying and being a top 18 guy. Probably not. Wentz. If he's a week one starter or something like that, he could qualify. But again, there's not a ton, right? This is why we talk about getting up into the elites, because in this range, there's not a ton here that we really like. Jimmy Garoppolo doesn't really have the top 12 on his resume, though maybe we could forgive it a little bit. He could be considered a contributing guy. But really the contributing guys in this range are Jalen Hurts and Matt Ryan. Jalen Hurts via being a top 18 guy. He does have a hit, right, but doesn't have multiple hits. So that's a source of uncertainty. Matt Ryan, has multiple hits and is going to be a week one starter. But other guys in the range like Tua, Daniel Jones, Baker, no hits. And then you look, Davis Mills, Winston, right? We talked about him. Love, I don't know if he'll make it up into that range, even if he's a starter. Darnold, Bridgewater, Teddy, Jimmy G, right? So you start looking around, you're like, man, there's a quick fall off. So either you're really outside looking in at the quarterback position, or you're really contending, right? That's the deal. Like there's a big difference there, and these guys do make a difference to go pay up for. It was kind of stark when I was starting to look at this about how big the gaps on some of these are. So it almost made me wonder if I'm a little bit too forgiving on guys like Cousins and Carr. I tend not to think that I am. Oh, we also missed. I'm sorry. I also missed Mac Jones and Zach Wilson. So it's Jalen Hurts, Zach Wilson, Mac Jones, and Matt qualify by the ADP. Ryan qualifies by the hits, right? So I did miss those guys. But when you look at it, right, there's not a ton of guys in there. Tua just misses. I'd probably put Tua in here as well. But that's really the list. And then ultimately you start looking down after that, and like there's a lot of uncertainty. So those would be the guys. Again, it's Hurts, Mac Jones, and Zach Wilson, and we'll include Tua for the purposes of this. Those four guys. But I do think there's a difference between Hurts and those other guys. But again, it's longevity versus, how much do we trust a guy like Hurts to be a starter long term? I think he's probably the best fantasy asset of that range, assuming that he is a starter. But you have to worry about the starter aspect of him. And then Matt Ryan qualifies being the hit with the starter. We'll probably include a couple more guys in here as the season goes along. This is a place where it can definitely see an uptick in the volume of guys along the way. The running back position, there's a lot in here. So it's a bunch of guys, right? And I think there's different tiers in here. Etienne, Henry, Akers, Kamara, Elijah Mitchell, AJ Dillon, Michael Carter, Aaron Jones, Zeke, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Damian Harris, Miles Sanders. And then two guys that are close are Pollard and Hunt. I think you could sort of look through this and say, all right, there's different types of these guys, right? I think a guy like Etienne can be a big time difference maker. Like you could pitch me on that for Akers. I'm not as sure on Akers. AJ Dillon could be, but at the same time, he might be more of a glorified injury away guy. Right? You look at, you have injury away guys in this, Pollard and Hunt, right? There's aging guys, right? There's Zeke. Right, there's Aaron Jones, there's Kamara, there's Henry. Right? There's a whole variety of these guys in here. So I think that the big takeaway here is to understand that these are similar odds type bets, to understand that there are, as you're going older at the position, your probably odds of hitting are a little bit better, because, you know, there's some age insulation in that number, whatever the ADP number is. And that's not there for older guys. And so how do they get there? Well, it's the projection that they're going to be good, right? So that's something to factor in as well. But yeah, I mean, and this probably gives you a certain level of caution on investing in high-end injury away guys, right? Is Pollard and Hunt sort of fit in this category? Are they different? I think they're kind of different, right? Some guys that might include inclusion in this, right, that might deserve inclusion in this later on as the season unfolds. It's Fournette, it's Singletary, it's Penny. Would sort of be the guys that I could put in here. I'd probably put Fournette in here. I do put Fournette in here right now because he's close to the line, and I think that he qualifies as being a contributing asset. And, you know, but there's a danger in that too of, hey, he's going into free agency and maybe that won't happen, right? So that's, you know, there is a little bit of uncertainty there. I have Singletary and Penny just out, but I do include Fournette there for the purposes of it at present. So again, we'll go back through it. Etienne, Henry, Akers, Kamara, Elijah Mitchell, AJ Dillon, Michael Carter, Aaron Jones, Zeke, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Damian Harris, Miles Sanders, Pollard, and Hunt. And then at wide receiver, we go down the list here. Again, these are a wide receiver. It's your, your wide receivers are 40 through 32 in ADP, and they are wide receivers selected in the first round of the NFL draft, which we don't know yet, and wide receivers with multiple prior hits who are in the top 40 to 45, 50. You know, I put 40 when I wrote the book. I think you could probably, you know, as we sort of look at this and look at it this year, it looks a lot more like 50. You know, there's some guys in there that we could potentially look about. But your contributing assets right now that qualify, you know, so they're basically, right, so they're wide receivers 14 through 32 who don't qualify for a higher tier. And then they're basically guys up to wide receiver 40 or so that have multiple hits. So it's Elijah Moore, Devonta Smith, 17 and 18, Brandon Ayuk at 26, Jerry Jeudy at 29, Bateman at 31, right? So if you look at those, you say, huh, okay, like they're younger guys who haven't hit. Okay, right? This is, again, you got to be a little bit cautious on these guys. You know, Marquise Brown, Mooney, right? Mooney's in there as well. Again, there's different valuations in here, right? So just sort of keep that in mind. And then you go and you look at those are the guys that qualify by the number. And then the guys with multiple hits in the top 40. And I include the guys up to 40, basically up to 50 who hit the multiple hits that I sort of have some confidence in. Tamari Cooper, Michael Thomas, Juju Smith-Schuster, Brandon Cooks, and Tyler Lockett. You know, so you just start looking down at that range. Like, that's actually a range you could do some damage with, right? Just thinking 35 through 48 at the position. You could say, hey, if that's your group, like, you know, there's a Hunter Renfrow in there as well who just misses in terms of qualifying. But you start looking at there, you're like, hey, wait a second. Like, there's some interesting that's an interesting group of guys. And you know, you could, if that's sort of where you end up, like you could do worse from there. Right. And that's kind of the benefit of putting guys with production, you know, sort of valuing that production higher, which is what the numbers would tell us to definitely do. Some guys that miss out in terms of actually qualifying in the range, include, Kadarius Toney, which, you know, it's interesting when you think about him, you know, has he become like a partial contributing asset? I'd probably treat him like a contributing asset, although, like, because I sort of look at him versus Jeudy or him versus Bateman, and I think to myself, Right, like what's the guy that's going to make the difference in that range? And that's would be like if I could go from I think the takeaway is if I could go from Judy to Tony plus, right? That's the takeaway. Maybe he's a partial contributing asset where he's really a value play, right? That could be, you know, you're primarily trying to play for value. You know, I think he's an interesting one about how he fits this rubric. I think it's the big takeaway. And then you got Chase Claypool at 34, Gabe Davis 41, Courtland Sutton, Michael Gallup, Rondell Moore, Allen Robinson's actually at 52, and he'll probably make the contributing asset list once he jumps maybe up a little bit. We just see sort of what his contract situation looks like, right? I think that's to be a little bit more helpful, but you know, I could keep going on some of those guys, but I think that cutting it off kind of at 50 or so, and then you know, if Allen Robinson, we feel better about his contract, we'll probably put him in the contributing asset range there as we go forward. But yeah, so Elijah Moore, Devonta Smith, Brandon Ayuk, Judy, Bateman, Brown, Mooney, Amari Cooper, Michael Thomas, Juju Smith-Schuster, Brandon Cooks, and Tyler Lockett. Some guys notably outside the list. Again, going back to that, Kadarius Toney, Chase Claypool, Gabe Davis, Courtland Sutton, Gallup, Rondell Moore, and Allen Robinson. Then when you go ahead and look at the tight ends, you know, you get into a group, Hockenson, you know, and Goddard we talked about in the last show. I think you could look at it. It's Freiermuth, it's Knox, Fant, Gesicki, Schultz, Komet, Hunter Henry. Those would be sort of the guys that I look at in this sort of contributing asset range. You know, and I think as I sort of look through this a little bit, you know, we can think, you know, about some of the situations, right, of beyond that. It's pretty interesting. You do have a couple of rookies in here with Trey McBride and Jalen Weidermeyer, you know, that fit in the top 16. But some guys outside the top 16, I think, that are interesting. You know, Irv Smith at 17. You know, Joku at 21. Evan Ingram's at 26. You know, as you look further down, Robert Tonyan's at like 33. Like, that's a danger profile. Like, that was always a good example of a danger profile. You know, OJ Howard, Austin Hooper, like in the 30s, you know. So you start looking at those guys, like that's more the partial contributors, that like they're kind of contributing in other ways, or you're hoping for more, you know, value plays, upticks, that type of deal. But, you know, as you look in here, right, I think you're looking at there's a big difference up at the top and then not a huge, huge difference in the middle here. Again, this is why, like, maybe in hindsight about, like, Higbee last year was kind of not necessarily a great one, right, because you were betting on a guy who hadn't really done it to an elite level. You know, he had a really small sample size of doing it. But if we sort of went through all these guys, like, they'd have kind of similar sample sizes of if you took like 5-6 games where they looked excellent, and then, you know, but overall their profiles kind of blend together. And I think that's kind of the big thing here. So if I were to take a bet, you know, I would say I think Hockenson and Goddard are more core and tight end premiums are more core guys probably than contributing guys. And then I would say, you know, Fant's interesting. I think people are making the Aaron Rodgers bet with Fant. You know, Gesicki's kind of done it, right? They're very similar. Schultz is there's some free agency concerns there as well. I think Hunter Henry's interesting just because he's the cheapest, right? That'd sort of be my thought there, right? He's cheaper than Cole Kmet. Like, I think that's means he's probably a target guy. Would sort of be my thought on those. So again, running back down, your contributing guys, I would say Hockenson and Goddard are at the top, and tight end premium, they're probably core guys. And then it's Pat Freiermuth, Dawson Knox, Noah Fant, Gesicki, Schultz, Komet, and Hunter Henry. Also remember, first round tight ends fit is contributing assets. So do first round wide receivers. So I guess we'll get a bunch of them this year, hopefully, and day two running backs. So excited about that. You know, there'll be that'll flesh out this range of the position pretty well. You get future second round rookie picks as well. So again, that flexibility, that liquidity. You might not necessarily draft a contributing asset with a second round rookie pick, but again, this is a good reminder. This is a good reminder of what you're doing, right? You're trying to draft, you know, first round tight ends in the second round of rookie drafts. Like, it's tough to do, but you're trying to draft, you know, what are you trying to draft? First round wide receivers in the second round of rookie drafts. Like, that's doable. Second and third round running backs, right? That's doable. And then you sort of see a little bit of tier break, you know, some of maybe the better higher end, you know, day two tight ends might qualify there too. Maybe if I redid it, we would include first and second round tight ends. I don't know. It's interesting. You know, we might maybe we'll do a little bit more research and evaluate if we can potentially, you know, identify some better ones in that range that potentially elevate them up. Because I think that would give us a little bit of a little edge there too, and a couple of guys each year who sort of go in that range that we can target. So, but first round tight ends, first round wide receivers, second and third round running backs are your assets, future second round rookie picks to go along with the tight ends that I mentioned, and then we'll as well as the receivers, and I'll run them back through just in case you're trying to write them down. Elijah Moore, Devonta Smith, Ayuk, Judy, Bateman, Marquise Brown, Darnell Mooney, all qualify by the number. Again, in that range, I'd probably be fading. Judy at the cost. Bateman is probably at the cost. I'd fade that. You know, him going ahead of Marquise Brown seems clinically crazy to me. And then you start looking down. You know, that just doesn't seem. I think Tony makes a better upside bet than a guy like. You know, than a couple of the guys in that range in particular. Like, yeah. So I've harped on that enough. And then other qualifiers, Cooper, Thomas, Juju Smith-Schuster, Brandon Cooks, and Tyler Lockett. And even if that forces a guy like you to have to deal with a one-year deal on a guy like Juju, you're still, like, it's not a horrible situation to be in. You're not paying at super high cost for him. He's in the 40s in terms of ADP. Like, it's fine. Etienne, Henry, Akers, Kamara, Elijah Mitchell, Dylan Carter, Aaron Jones, Zeke, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Damian Harris, Miles Sanders, Pollard, Hunt, and Fournette are the contributing assets at running back. And then it's Hurts, Zach Wilson, Mac Jones, and Tua, along with Matt Ryan at quarterback. Until next time, continue embracing the variance, and we will talk again very soon.